the mountain's height, or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to pass, I do not know. I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus would have me to speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should seek. But Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be.
Amen. I hope that is our sincere and honest prayer today. You know, sometimes it's not God calling us to go to a mission field or teach a class. He just might want us to help in the nursery, or help in the missions conference, or help prepare some meals. It's just multiple things we can do to advance the cause of Christ and to serve Him. And instead of looking for ways to avoid it, we ought to look for opportunities to serve. When we're right with God, here at Trinity Baptist Church, we want to serve. We're quick to volunteer. When we're not, we'll wait for somebody else to do it and make excuses. So thank God for that song. It was beautiful. I want to introduce a couple to you this morning. Would Jarvis and Karen Elliott stand, please? Jarvis is a new member of our church, and Karen is his new bride. They got married on Valentine's Day, and we congratulate them and rejoice with them. God bless you. Thank you. They were in Sunday school this morning also, and I like that. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3. This is the Sunday before our mission conference begins Wednesday night. When this next week will be one of the most important weeks of our entire church year. And we want you to be sure and come. We have a special speaker for our missions conference. Brother Kevin Wynn has preached here on numerous occasions, and he is an unusual man of God that's being used in an unusual way in Mexico City. He will be speaking each night, and then we will have guest missionaries in every service, and they'll be making their presentation. Next Sunday morning, Brother and Mrs. Frank Horton will be our special guest, and they'll be presenting their field in my Sunday school class, and all of the other adult classes will come after you get your records taken care of, and you'll meet with us in our adult assembly and here, and we'll hear from our missionaries, Frank and Susanna Horton. And we've purposely have not had them make their presentation up to this point because we wanted to use them in our missions conference. You're going to enjoy our missions conference. You just need to come. How many of you have never been to a missions conference? Would you raise your hand? You've never been to a missions conference. You need to be here this week. Start on Wednesday night. It'll start at 7:30, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll have special services. Saturday at 5 o'clock, we'll have our international supper and then a missionary presentation. And then Sunday morning will be our final Sunday in our missions conference. And we'll conclude that night with a victory service. Our goal is to raise $400,000 in faith promise alone for missions, $400,000. For some reason this morning, my mouth is very dry, and I'm going to have to drink water from time to time to keep myself from producing cotton. Have you found your place in Malachi chapter 3? The message I'm going to preach to you this morning is not a typical Sunday morning message, but it's a message that needs to be typically preached. We must never take for granted that all of the church family practices what I'm preaching about this morning. And yet every member of the church needs to practice this for your own benefit, for your own help and health. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Let me say to begin with that I'm not preaching the message this morning because we need your money. We just had our greatest year in the history of our church. And while we were having our greatest year, some of you were having your worst year because you haven't learned to practice what I'm going to preach about this morning. And I'm preaching this for your benefit. I'm preaching it because it's a vital part of the Word of God. I'm preaching it because guaranteed blessings from heaven are connected with it. And I want you to listen on purpose this morning as I begin to preach on this subject, why every Christian should give to God their tithes and their offerings. Not just the rich ones. Not just those with surplus. But every Christian should give to God their tithes and offerings. Now some of you are thinking right now, you don't understand my state. You don't know the mess I'm in. I guarantee you there's not a person here that is worse off financially than I was, Mrs. Smith and I was, when we made our commitment to begin tithing. And I can testify that the promises of God are true. and the blessings and the benefits that he provides are real. Stand, if you will, and I shall begin to read in verse number 7. The Bible says, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Now this is God speaking to his people. God's not talking to the heathen. He's speaking to his people. He said, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Well, when you're not right with God, and you want to get right with God, then the point of getting right with God is returning to him where you left him. Wherein shall we return? Verse number 8, will a man rob God? Now this is God speaking. Yet you have robbed me. But you said, wherein have we robbed thee? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. Now you do understand that the tithe is 10% of your increase, not 10% after 45 deductions, or not 10% after one deduction, but 10% of your increase. Offerings are gifts given to God above your tithe. So, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein shall we rob thee? Or have we robbed thee? And God said, in tithes and offerings. Verse number 9, you're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. Seldom is anything preached in the church that brings more resistance from backslidden people than does the subject that I shall preach on this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use the message to move these people to return to you. According to your word, when they stop giving you their tithes and offering, they left their first love. They left you, and they need to return to you. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts. Many of us have been giving our tithes and offerings for many, many, many years. And some have never learned that wonderful privilege. Help them to do so today. And thank you for making it possible for us to have a part in your great work. And in doing so, we're not giving up and sacrificing. In doing so, we're just getting into the place where you can bless us and provide for us. Now, Lord, even though my message will not be a salvation message, There's someone here today that needs to be saved. And Holy Spirit of God, help them to realize that without Jesus, it's impossible for them to have a relationship with you. They need to be born again. And a person is born again when he receives Jesus Christ as his Savior. Would you save them today? Now help my throat as I preach. Give me power and liberty to preach. And do a work in our hearts, and we'll thank you for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The writing of the book of Malachi occurs about 100 years after Israel had returned from their Babylonian captivity. God had brought about the captivity upon Israel because they had turned from worshiping God to worshiping idols. And one of the primary ways man worships God when he's right with God is in giving their tithes and their offerings. Every Sunday, I prepare my tithes and offerings and I give it in worship to my God, declaring that He is God and He is Lord of my life. Now, this is not some Old Testament thing under the law. It began before the law was ever given. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. Abraham or Isaac and Jacob gave tithes. Under the law, it was reaffirmed and reestablished. And then even in the New Testament, Jesus said, concerning the tithes and offerings, these you ought to have done. You ought to have given. So, this is not some outdated program. This is God's program without a date on it. This is God's program that is very important for God's children to practice in every generation. 100 years after the return from captivity, their worship had degenerated to the place where they had totally neglected God's house and God's plan. The priest had grown lax and degenerate. This was a primary problem in the land in that day, and may I say it's still a primary problem today. Preachers have grown lax and degenerate. The people in their worship, those that were worshiping, were offering sick and lame animals that nobody else would buy. They were offering them as sacrifices to God. When God said, I want the firstling of the flock, a lamb without spot and without blemish. The morals had hit an all-time low. Why, men were divorcing their Hebrew wives and marrying pagan women. It comes to where we are in Malachi chapter 3, and God calls on the people to return to Him and His Word. He promised them if they'll return to Him that He would return unto them as their God. The people were so far away from God and had been so far away for so long that they didn't even know how to return to God. They did not know how to get right with God and get back to that place of blessing and heavenly favor. The word return here is used in verse 7 is a very interesting word. It simply means to change our direction. If we're going away from God, to return means to turn around and come back to God, to change our direction. It means to come back to God with a change of heart and a change of mind about our sin. And their sin was not giving their tithes and offerings. And they were to come back to God realizing that the tithe is the Lord's, as the Bible says, and it is holy unto God. Those of you that don't believe in tithing, I challenge you to show me in the Bible where it was done away with. You say, well, I believe in grace giving. Well, dear friend, so do I, but I believe grace giving supersedes tithing. See, we've got so many people today that are so spiritually weak, they're looking for ways out of obeying God instead of looking for opportunities to serve God. Many people think they can get right with God by just coming back to church. But that's not all there is to getting right with God. Getting right with God requires us to come back to God with a changed heart and mind that's now in agreement with God and His Word. Still, there's more. It means to return to God with what has been kept from Him. You look in verse number 7, verse number 8, verse 9 and 10, and you'll find out what they were keeping from Him was their worship in tithes and offerings. And I say again, the point of our departure from God must also be the point of our return to God if we're truly going to get right with God. There's absolutely no returning to God and Him returning to us without us returning back to God with His tithes and His offerings. To withhold them from God is so awful in His sight that God calls it robbery. He calls it stealing from God. And notice again what was stolen: tithes and offerings. This morning, for just a few moments, I want to preach to you from the subject why every Christian should bring their tithes and offerings to the house of God and give it to Him. The six verses I've read to you this morning are just 12 verses from the end of the Old Testament Scripture. For 400 years, God will not be heard again. And when He is heard again, He comes speaking through His Son, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, He is letting us know that it's not now just Israel He's interested in, but it's the whole world, Jew and Gentile, for there is no difference. Now the message. We should bring all our tithes and offerings into the house of God, number one, to protect us from the greatest possible hurt. Verse number 9, God said, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." To be cursed with a curse means to be void of God's favor and God's blessing, and instead to be under His judgment. And I want you to know, my dear friend, you have never experienced hurt until that hurt comes from God in judgment on you because you have sinned against Him. Cursed with a curse. A person cannot run to the preacher crying and get this curse from God removed. There's only one way to get this thing right with God, and that's to return to God with your tithes and offerings and a repentant heart. A heart that's now in agreement with God. How many of you really believe God's Word? Or you only believe parts of it? If you believe God's Word, and you should, then you ought to fear and tremble at this verse. Especially if you're that person that's guilty of not giving your tithes and offerings to the Master. I cannot imagine living without God's favor and blessing on my life and family. I cannot imagine a person making willful decisions and choices that he knows will put his family under the curse and judgment of God. I just can't comprehend that. What kind of a mother does that? What kind of a daddy does that? What kind of a person chooses the curse over the blessing? It doesn't end there. After this life is over, then we've got to face God and explain to Him why we decided to ignore what God told every one of us to do, tithing and giving. I wonder if He'll accept the excuses that many of you give to me over the years. Well, preacher, I've just got so many debts. God didn't make them. Well, preacher, I've maxed out this credit card. Yeah, but God didn't do it. I want you to listen to me. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to blister you or blast you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to belittle you. Every one of us at one time or another in our Christian life had to be faced with this same decision. Yes, we're going to obey God, or no, I'm not going to obey God. Yes, I'm going to put my family in the place where we can have heaven's greatest blessings. Or no, I'm going to rebel and put my family in the place where we'll suffer the curse that God is speaking about here. Here is a promise of protection from the greatest possible hurt. I can't imagine living under a curse as a Christian. The whole reason for being a Christian is to get that curse of sin lifted and done away with and blotted out. And then for a few dollars, we make a choice to put ourselves back under the place of a curse, a different curse. I'm not saying you're losing your salvation. I'm talking about what you're missing is God's blessing and protection right here in this life. When we give our tithes and offerings to God, we have His promise of protection from the greatest possible hurt. Some of you are saying, well, I've not seen any miraculous things happen to me since I've been tithing. Yeah, and you've avoided all of the terrible things. One of the greatest blessings we're going to discover when we get to heaven are those things that God kept from happening. Secondly, we should all bring our tithes and offerings into the house of God because it puts us in the place of greatest possible blessing. Now, we talked to you in that first point about verse number 9, cursed with a curse. That's terrible. Cursed with a curse. And yet, here in verse number 10, we have the opposite of that for those that bring their tithes and offerings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we should bring our tithes and offerings to God, not only to protect us from the greatest possible hurt, but to put us in the place of the greatest possible blessing. As I said before, you've not experienced hurt until that hurt is from God's curse. And you have never been blessed until you've been blessed by God and know it's God's hand moving for you. The blessings promised here are from God. The blessings promised here are in this life. The blessings promised here are not just being held till after we die and get to heaven. May I say to you, the blessings God has promised us is far more than we can comprehend with this finite mind. He says it's a blessing so large that we will not have room enough to receive it. Now, I assume that means he's just going to have to keep giving it and giving it and giving it and giving it until it's all given out, because we couldn't stand it all at once. Couldn't handle it all at once. How much do you value heaven's blessings? How much do you value God's favor? Are you more dependent on God's favor than you? Are you more dependent on your ability? There's people that think, well, man, I can cheat on God here, and I've got ability to make up the difference. How foolish you are. Oh, to be blessed from God and know it. And to be blessed by God and your children know it. To be blessed by God and your wife knows it. It's because of your obedience and your faithfulness to God. The promise to those who give tithes and offerings is a blessing from heaven that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I submit to you, that's the greatest possible blessing. Thirdly, we should bring all our tithes and offerings into the house of God to put us in the place of the greatest possible protection. Look at verse number 11. God said, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, whether you believe it or not, the forces of evil that are loose in this world are demonic forces. They're directed by Satan himself, and Satan is called the devourer, the destroyer. He's the enemy of every child of God today. No one is ever blessed by obeying Satan. And Satan will tell you not to give your tithes and offerings. He'll tell you that you can do more with them than God could. He'll never lead you to the place where you can experience God's protection and God's blessings. But God has promised to rebuke the devourer, and he shall not be able to destroy, the Bible says. Now, I want God's protection on my family. I want God's protection on my life. I know what it is to face Satan and have to do battle with Satan. And I don't want to stand there alone. I don't want to have to raise my children in this wicked world without God's protection and God's help. The devourer and the destroyer is out there waiting to get a hold of them and wreck their lives. I want his blessings on my business, and I want his protection on my business. Do you have his protection on your life today? Fourthly, we should all bring our tithes and offerings to the house of God in order to put ourselves in the place of greatest possible fruitfulness. To put ourselves in the greatest possible place of greatest possible fruitfulness. It says, "And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, in the Bible days, the scriptures writing about here, the people were farmers and sheep and cattle herders. The promise is given to them the assurance that if they faithfully give to God their tithes and offerings, He'll bless their crops and the offsprings of their herds. But may I say to you, that promise applies just as much today to the businessman or the mechanic or the bricklayer or the salesperson or the secretary or whatever your business is, as long as it's legal and honorable. Those that give their tithes and offerings have God's promise of blessings and fruitfulness. You ought to read the story of J.C. Penney. You ought to read the story of Letourneau. They took God at His word and put God to the test. And they have no explanation of how their businesses grew except God blessed them. God blessed them with the greatest possible fruitfulness. Fifthly and lastly, we should bring all our tithes and offsprings and our offerings into thy offsprings too. We should bring all our tithes and offerings and offsprings into the house of God to put them in the place of the greatest possible, because it puts us in the place of greatest possible testimony. You bear with me. You can't imagine the trouble I'm having with my voice. See, when we give our tithes and offerings, it puts us in a place of greatest possible testimony. I promise you, the people in our church that are the happiest and blessed are those that are giving their tithes and offerings. Seldom ever have a person that's faithfully giving tithes and offering having to come and say, "Preacher, we need help." Now, everybody is going to have a need for somebody to help them at one time or another. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. But I want you to know, 99 out of 100 that come to us asking for help are not those that give God their tithes and offerings. The amazing thing about this passage is God said it puts us in the place of greatest possible testimony. Look at verse 12. He says, "When you return to me with your tithes and offerings, not only will you be delivered from the curse, you'll have the greatest possible blessing and the greatest possible protection and the greatest possible fruitfulness, but you'll have a great testimony. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." 400 years from the time these verses were written, God spake once again by sending His Son, the Savior, to die for our sins. No longer was His message to the Jew only. Now it's, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." In this age, He established His church and commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Jew and Gentile. Now, how is it possible for a church to do this? How can it be financed? How can we build a church and evangelize the world? And the answer is very simply, if we are right in giving our tithes and offerings, we can build a strong church here at home that can evangelize our homeland. And in our offerings, we can send out missionaries around the world to evangelize the world. Gentile nations and heathen nations shall call those who give their tithes and offerings blessed, because we sent to them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We're blessed today to have a young man visiting in our service from Brazil. He knows John and Connie Hinton. He's up here for a month, and they said, be sure and visit our church. Isn't it amazing? A giving people sent a surrendered couple as missionaries to Brazil to carry the gospel. And here's a young man from Brazil, knows them with a testimony of their faith and faithfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're about to go into our missions conference. If we're going to be able to fulfill the plan of God and the work of God that's commanded in the Great Commission, then we have got to be faithful in our tithes and our offerings. For it is through our tithes that the ministry of our church stays strong. And it's through our tithes and offerings that we make it possible to carry the gospel around the world. And you know, last year was our greatest year in the history of our church. Greatest year in number of people saved. Had a great year in baptisms. Had a great year, our greatest year in attendance. Greatest year in tithes and offerings. Our greatest year in giving to missions. And yet, all of that was carried on by less than half of the membership of Trinity Baptist Church. What could we do if you would return to God and give Him your tithes and offerings? You see, He said, return to me first. Some of you are going to leave here today and say, all that preacher wants is money. But that's not what I'm saying. Return to God. And if you return to God, that means you give Him your heart and your life first. And when our heart and our life's right with God, it's no problem to give Him our pocketbook. No problem at all. Let me ask you today, and I'm through. The Bible says here that all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Could God look at you and hold up your record in glory and say, the record says that you are blessed. You are a delightsome Christian because you've made sure you stayed right with God. You obeyed God. You walked with God. Return unto me, God says. Return unto me. That's the great need today in 2008, is for God's people to return to God and get right with God. I challenge you to go through the Bible and look at the revivals in the Bible. Every great revival, one of the first things that they get right about is about their tithing and their giving. If the tithe belongs to the Lord and you refuse to give it, how can you get right with God without getting right about that? Because no matter what you do, if you're not right in that area, you're still not right with God. Return unto me. Now let me say a word to unsaved people. I've preached this morning to Christians. What I've preached this morning is not the greatest need of the unsaved person. The greatest need of the unsaved person is to accept Christ as Savior. And we're not talking about you giving God something, we're talking about God wants to give you something. He's given His only begotten Son to die for you on that old rugged cross that you might have life everlasting. Have you accepted that gift of God? Have you received Christ as your Savior? It's for you. It's free. It's forever. It'll settle forever your sin debt before God. It'll take you out of the realm of those going to hell and put you over here in the family of God, those that are going to heaven. But you can't have that without Jesus. There's not one chance in 10 billion you can get into heaven without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then I'd say to Christians, you may be doing a lot of things in religious works, but if you're not right in the area of tithing and giving, God said you're not right with Him and you need to return. Now, Heavenly Father, that's our message this morning.